He's seen it from all sides. As a cop, as a clergyman, as a candidate, even a professional wrestler. Now he brings you both sides of the issues facing Naples and all of Southwest Florida. This is the Joe Whitehead Show. Call Joe now at 430-2428.
All right, we are in the heat of summer. It's just way too hot out there, folks. And by the way, this is the Joe Whitehead Show, and we are broadcasting, as always, live and armed. Glad you could join us. We've got a lot to talk about today. I've also got joining me, a friend is joining me in the studio, who's going to be involved with our show going forward fairly often, and he's also hosted a show before himself. And that's John DePrisco. John, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
And we got a lot to talk about today. I want to kick this off with something that was in the Naples Daily News this past week. Now, I'm prefacing that, ladies and gentlemen, by saying the Naples Daily News I do not consider to be a good source of accurate information, period. They write agenda-driven journalism, period.
Yep.
And the writer of this particular piece, Miss I don't know how she pronounced her name, Hammer or Slap or whatever it is, I've seen her write things that were completely inaccurate and simply pushing a opinion she has without facts. I've seen this happen.
Yeah.
So I'm cautioning you on that before I share the information. But this particular article raises some good points about something we've spoken before in this show. And that is in reference to a quote, as the headline reads, "A fired principal alleges Collier School District violated her free speech right." Now, what does that mean? Let's map that out. The principal we're speaking of, who I've spoken to, by the way, before several times, and she really, I think, seems to have her head on straight. She's well-spoken. She understands the issues. She sounds to me like someone who really has it together, first of all. Let me just preface by saying that. Those are my thoughts. And I've spoken to her about some of these issues before, and that's Pam Vicarious, and she was at Manatee Middle School. And she had a very good track record, by the way, John. She was elevating the level of education there by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I think they went from like a C to an A or close
just,
to it.
Just about cracked the surface there. Mm-hmm. And that's remarkable to be able to do that. Yeah. Well, she had done a couple of things that I admire. Like she did the right thing. But she had actually contacted law enforcement a couple of times because of some safety issues. One had to do with a bus driver who was texting salacious and lewd information to a child, to a girl.
Yeah. Sexting.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, if you want to call it that.
Uh-huh.
And the other case involved a teacher at the school who was DUI in the parking lot, struck another vehicle and tried to drive off, and she called it in. Now, the leaving the scene, even sober, is a felony.
Right.
And then property damage DUI is also a felony.
Yeah.
So here's a person that committed felonies. And I'm going to do a special report on this, ladies and gentlemen, with more details in the future. But this was resolved by the school system as just an in-house problem. And that teacher is still teaching because they treat it as just an in-house problem. This is a person who's a threat to public safety, should not be in education.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
Case in point, this principal, Pam Vicarious, she did the right thing. She was thinking of the public, the students, the other teachers, the people who step on that campus, the safety of both of them in each case, and did the right thing. She made the call into law enforcement.
Which you would hope she would do.
You would hope anybody there would do it. I mean, it should be almost automatic. And I have come to find out in talking to people at different schools throughout the district over the years that this is consistent. What she went through is consistent with what many have gone through. They are discouraged from making 911 type mm-hmm. calls, even if it's something serious.
Yeah.
They are just actively discouraged from it. Now, as you know, I serve in an administrative capacity at a local charter school. One of the first things I sought to do when I joined the team, and the principal of the school gave me the blessing on it. He said it sounded like it made total sense to him, because there's nothing to hide. If you have nothing to hide, there's nothing to worry about. We have at the Mason Academy a all hands on deck public safety policy, which includes if you're a teacher or a trusted employee of the school, and you witness some sort of a significant violation to public safety that could threaten, you know, students, teachers, visitors, anybody, and it's ongoing, it's currently happening, you are empowered to make the judgment call and call 911 yourself
yeah.
and get the help rolling.
Yeah.
Now, that I've spoken about this with representatives of the City of Naples Police Department, with representatives of the Sheriff's Department and Sheriff Rambosk, mm-hmm. and they all applaud this kind of thinking of the Mason Academy for realizing that when you need the help, you need the help, and you're also empowered to, you know, keep the public safe, keep the students safe, keep the teachers safe. And so you do these things. You don't go after a principal because she did the right thing and made that 911 call immediately. So here she did the right thing on behalf of everyone she's there to serve. And it appears, for all practical purposes, that she's being part of this action against her is to persecute her for doing that.
Yeah, and it's actually a nationwide issue where the Obama administration had put out policy, you know, reminders, and actual policies to play down arrests and to get the numbers down so that districts look better.
Yes.
We saw that at Parkland.
Trayvon Martin was apparently the product of one of these.
Yeah.
These policies. What John's referring to, Eric Holder used to call, there was too much of a pipeline straight to prison coming out of the schools. We gotta change that. In other words, there was too many, or there weren't enough going to Penn State and too many going to the state pen.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line, okay? Yeah. And the truth of the matter is, if someone is acting in a criminal manner at the age of 14 or 12, it should be treated as a criminal issue.
Yeah.
Because when you don't, you're teaching them, well, we have these laws, but we're really not serious.
Yeah, you can get away with it.
It's like illegal immigration. Don't come across the border. There's signage there, okay? We have our border patrol that's there. But if you make it here, we're not going to do anything to you. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. We don't really mean anything we say. Do you see that? How this all sets up for failure?
Yeah.
It's all connected. That you have to put in place what you believe to be the correct policies, procedures, and guidelines for your own safety, whether you're a school, a country, a neighborhood, a household, whatever. But then not just have it right, you have to do it. You got to follow the plan. Let's see if anybody has thoughts on this. Should schools, public entities, empower everybody to make that call if they see it happening, and then let everybody else know right afterward? Hey, police are on the way, fire's on the way, whatever, because we have a problem here, and then take whatever appropriate action. Should we do that? Should we mean what we say? Should 12-year-olds be arrested?
Yeah.
Let me know your thoughts on that one. 430-2428, 430-2428. If you want to comment on either of those things, please do so, because I'd like to hear what the logic for the alternative is, if there is one. I mean, what is the logic, John, for saying to someone who's 13, go ahead and commit crimes. We're not going to do anything to you right now. You go pick up some garbage on the side of the road. Don't worry about it.
Well, you know, there's some liberal concept of leniency that I don't get, where they feel that if the person is given a stern lecture, that somehow that's going to correct their behavior, that the consequence that we've dictated for breaking the law can be, you know, forgiven or looked away. And, you know, the results of that are tragic. I don't know how they see it.
Well, I think it's embedded in the liberal mindset. Let's roll this up to the national level. Just remember, a few years ago, President Obama gave Syrians a stern lecture and drew a line in the sand, and what did the guy do? Gas some more people.
Yep.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay, doesn't work. You have to take action, and you have to let people know you're taking action. So you can't tell, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids, you know, you're young. Okay, you stabbed a few people. Well, we're going to go after the person that gave you the knife.
Yeah.
You know, that's the mindset.
Yep.
Okay, you're training them to do more. You're not training them that this was bad, something bad is going to happen now, I don't ever want this to happen again. That's what we're doing. But we're doing it on so many levels. Case in point, people commit a criminal act, they get 7 years, 8 years. But they don't really do 7 or 8 years. Mm-mm. They might do 5 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't say what we mean and then do it.
Right.
And I think that's just so embedded in all of this. And if you want to comment, folks, 430-2428, 430-2428. There's another one. Proof that we don't mean what we say. You drive down the road, what's one of the signs you see? Speed limit.
Yeah.
55. It's even on the book statutorily, that the person has to be going, I think the cap number is 6 or 7 miles an hour beyond the posted speed limit.
Yeah, 0 to 5 is 0 points and $0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got to be, it's a higher level.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't mean 55, or we don't mean 70, or we don't mean any of that. So we're always saying something we don't mean.
Yep.
And I think that becomes confusing at all levels. But when you do it, especially at the juvenile level, now you're training them for failure in the future. And I think the leftists and the people who do these special outreach programs in schools, instead of running a tight ship, they're running a sinking ship.
Yeah.
It doesn't, these things don't work. They just promote more bad behavior.
Yeah, well, you're reinforcing the bad behavior with consequences that aren't dire. I mean, if I touch a hot stove, my finger gets burned. The stove doesn't say, oh, I'll let you go this time. I get burned.
Right. Life has failures in certain areas of life mean there's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go on, I remember not this past, but the one before, St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I was over in Ireland with my wife and daughter for about a week. We took some vacation time. And we hiked this one area called the Cliffs of Moher.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know if you've
familiar. I've heard of it, yeah. It's near the sea?
Right by the ocean. And there's a lot of, it appears in a number of different movies as like scenery because it's so stark. These cliffs just fall off and the waves are crashing up and the North Atlantic slapping up against the, you know, it's amazing to see. The wind's always blowing. Well, they have signs along there right on the edge that say, oh, don't go close to the edge because people have fallen off of there. Well, they're not as Sioux happy, I guess, as we are, but we would have had, you know, guardrails. You can't get within 30 feet of it. I mean, you could literally walk right up, step over this little sort of string fence and go off the cliff if you wanted to. You know, it can happen. But the point is, most people look at that and go, yeah, I better not walk over there because if I go down, I'm done.
Yeah. It's certain death.
And so life has those realities in it. But what we are doing is we're taking things that we don't want people to do, letting them do it over and over, and continuously having little or no consequences. Mm-hmm. So you're training them for failure.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what society does too much. And then we wonder why this happens. Then we wonder why Nicholas Cruz walks into a school.
Right.
He's been trained for failure, ultimately, at the end of the day. Hey, let's take a little time out for some of our sponsors. First thing I want to mention, folks, if you're in the mood today for some great Italian food, whether it's great Italian sausage or best sub in Florida, best Italian sub in Florida, go check out my friend Vinny at the Neapolitan Gourmet. He's in the Bed Bath & Beyond Plaza at the corner of Pine Ridge and Airport. Go in there hungry, because if you say to Vinny, hey, could I have one of those subs I just heard about on the Joe Whitehead show that has mortadella, Genoa, soppressata, all the good stuff. In fact, my favorite is actually a soppressata and the hot ham capicola.
Yeah.
On this great Italian bread he has. Go in there and order one of those, capicola, soppressata. You will be absolutely thrilled with it. Best sub in town. Absolutely the best. Vinny makes them fresh right there to order. Go in and check that out. He's also got a whole lot of other great Italian prepared foods. He's got all kinds of dry goods, specialty items with Italian import labels. Best shop in town to prepare dinner. And fantastic place. So go check him out. The Neapolitan Gourmet in the Bed Bath & Beyond Plaza, Pine Ridge and Airport. And treat yourself to one of those amazing subs. And we're going to take a time out and be back right after this.
98.9 WGUF.
This is the city. Naples, Bonita Springs, Florida. I work here. I'm a locksmith. BB Locksmith. It was season. Everyone's guard was down. Tourists and snowbirds were settled in. Locals were oblivious to the crime being committed around them. That's when I got the call. BB Locksmith.
I need help.
Just the facts, ma'am.
There have been several break-ins in my neighborhood.
Not surprising. In the last quarter, over 1,800 property crimes were reported. And in the last year, the number was almost 8,000.
I think I should improve my locks.
With two shops and a half dozen mobile service vehicles, BB Locksmith can help before you become another statistic.
BB Locksmith is family-owned and operated, and we genuinely care about our neighbors and their security. Find us at bblocksmith.com or call BB Locksmith 239-262-2000.
Thank you, BB Locksmith.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
BB Locksmith, 262-2000.
Hey, do you want to save, I mean big money? Well, then you need to be purchasing your printer ink cartridge refills at Cartridge Depot. That's right, save up to 50%. 50% less than the big store prices. They're locally owned and operated. These are real people who live right here in Collier County with real answers to your questions. Go in and check out Cartridge Depot, save big bucks, get quality products, and by the way, they actually test out their cartridges before they sell them to you. That's right, quality control from Cartridge Depot. Good products, save big bucks, check them out. Cartridge Depot, 2622 Tamiami Trail North. Go there today. Check them out on thejoewhiteheadshow.com.
Love this music. Makes me want to lock and load. Man, what am I talking about? Lock and load even without it. Hey, this is Joe Whitehead, and this is the Joe Whitehead Show, and we're broadcasting live and armed. And your comments and calls are welcome. 430-2428. John DePrisco is in the house today, helping me move the show along. Good to have you here, John.
How are you?
We have a caller. I guess he wanted to comment on some of our topics from the last segment. His name is Joe. We're going to put him right on the air. Joe, welcome to the show, and thank you for waiting during the break.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Dr. Joe Doyle. Congratulations to John on your new segment.
Fantastic. What's up? So what's on your mind, bro?
Well,
what's up?
You brought to mind that a lot of what's going on here has to do with the 1963 Supreme Court decision when we took God out of the classroom, and now the Ten Commandments have become the Ten Suggestions.
Yes. When you stop looking at things like the Ten Commandments as the rules to follow, those are the rules of the road, okay? Those are the way we're supposed to live. Without it, we collapse as a society. Then you have chaos. So do you think we're set? Do you think I'm going too far by saying that we're setting everyone up for failure with this, or is this accurate in your view?
I think it's accurate. Look what's happened in the last 55 years in this country.
Well,
it all correlates.
Well, it leads into, let me tell you what, it leads into our next topic, which I'll keep you on the phone for, but let me ask you a couple other questions. So I'm a big believer in if you're underage and you commit a criminal act, I think that ought to be a criminal act, criminal consequence, more or less like an adult, unless you're 7 years old or something like that. But there still has to be a consequence. The significant, is that, am I too hard?
I guess it depends on what the consequences are. I don't know, you know, how many years they're supposed to get for certain things. But no, I think what you need to do is stick to whatever the penalty is supposed to be.
In other words, I guess my point is, I fear that what we're doing is we're saying to young people, well, you did this bad thing, you committed a criminal act, but you're young. We're not going to worry about it. To me, I think that sends a message you can do it and get away with it.
Well, that's the whole point. That's why the Ten Commandments have become the Ten Suggestions.
Yeah, well, and they're not even to be official suggestions anymore. If you put them on the wall in a public place, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't even want them in public. What are your thoughts on... So I have this policy in place that some people think is a little controversial, about all hands on deck in a public institution like a school where anybody can be empowered to make that 911 call to make your place safer. And I find out there's only one school in the entire Collier County system that does that. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Joe? And I've met you before. I know you really are a guy that's you think things through. I know how tough you are.
Well, I'm not familiar with that policy, but it seems to me that there even needs to be training on it. If only one out of the 52 schools is following the policy, then there's a problem there.
Well, we're the only one that has it. The problem is, as we mentioned in this Pam Vicarious update that was in the Naples Very Daily News, she as a principal made some 911 calls because of problems on her campus that occurred with employees of the system, and the system is slapping her hand as hard as they can. They want to cut her hand off, basically, for doing this, and she's protecting the public interest, but she violated the protocols by taking it on herself to do it. And my point is, you know, when you have those protocols in place, you're prohibiting an immediate response when one is needed.
Yeah, I guess it would depend on what resources she had there. And as I understand, that school did not have a youth resource officer, and she'd requested one for years.
That is accurate. That's true. And so her only options were to call 911.
Right.
When you had some serious things happening, you know, and the system's up in arms that she did it. So, again, who are they interested in protecting, the superintendent and the board or the public?
Well, it's obvious that we want everything to look like, oh, nothing, no problems here, everything's fine, rah, 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 cheer, cheer, cheer. So, yeah, it's all about promoting themselves.
Amen. Hey, Joe, thanks for the call today. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Take care. You too. Yeah, I think that, you know, he reflects a lot of what people are thinking, that there just isn't any reason not to take action when you should be taking action, because you put the public at risk.
Yeah, and he's pointing out to a standard that founded Western civilization. I mean, you know, we have a higher morality, mm-hmm. and when you replace that with secular relativism, it's whatever you want.
Well, yeah, and you've seen it in everything. Even you can even decide what gender you are after the fact, or that you're not a gender, or that you're gender fluid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. Give us a call, folks, 430-2428 if you want to jump in on these issues. This ties in to another issue that's big now. Now, we had some news that came out yesterday that, I guess on Thursday night, a fairly well-known CNN show host, Anthony Bourdain, and I've seen his programs about traveling. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Guy has some, you know, cool stuff. He goes to interesting places, talks to people about what's really going on behind the scenes. I mean, he did pretty good. And a lot of people I've heard say, oh, man, he has a life. Man, I'd like to be doing what he's doing. And I guess that could be fun. Yeah. To get paid well and to do those things. Yet he was so disappointed with his own life that he ended it.
Yeah.
Not just Anthony Bourdain, though. According to the Center for Disease Control, suicide since 1999 has increased to a rate that is currently 25% higher today. And in 49 of our 50 states, it has increased.
Yeah.
49 of 50 states going up. Now, the other sad statistic in this is it is the number two killer of people 25 and under.
Yeah, the younger.
The younger crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So the question comes down to what is going on that is driving this? Because I don't think it's random. I think it's got it corresponds with something going on in society. But I mean, what are the possibilities? Does it have to do with family breakdown? Does it have to do with lack of faith? Does it have to do with, as Joe Doyle pointed out, we don't follow rules like the Ten Commandments anymore? Does it have to do with people's minds actually being, the mind development actually being altered extensively by too much exposure to electronics and media and phones and video games? I mean, is there any of these things that are driving this?
Well, and yeah, one of the questions is what might be a correlation? Is it the economy? Well, no. Economy's been up and down, yet the rate has been steadily increasing. You know, so how do you correlate it to what's going on? And you can look at a general societal breakdown.
Exactly. And you're right. You know, I understand that there were times like the Great Depression where people felt they'd lost everything and people had killed themselves. They couldn't face it. They couldn't face poverty, whatever it was. But you're right. Today it can't be the economy because there are lots of jobs out there available. You know, and if you can't find a job today, then you can't find an elephant who's sharing the same phone booth with you. They're there.
Yeah.
There's lots of them, and they're being created day after day after day.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's economic issues that are driving this either. It's got to be something else, some kind of a void, some kind of a distortion, maybe even an actual loss of what the actual value of human life is. Maybe that's dominating the culture. Look, how many times have you watched an action movie?
Oh, all the time.
there's more people that get killed than live through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they're seen as just collateral damage.
Yeah, it's body count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's common. You know, a theory I've had with regard to the incidents of shootings, mass shootings, there's been 49 total school shootings, including Parkland in the last two, the one in Maryland, the one in Texas, mm-hmm. okay? Going back to the 1700s. But between the first one that was documented, the 1700s, before America was a nation, and up until just around 1990, of the 49 of these incidents, all those years, and only about 10 or 12 of them occurred, all the rest are mid-90s forward.
Yeah.
Now, what is so different about that era? Well, some people say, well, they had guns. They have these high, you know, they got all these high capacity magazines and guns. Folks, the AR-15 and other higher capacity shooting firearms have been available since the late 70s up through the 80s prior to all this, in large quantities, there was a phenomenon that took place in the 80s that I think triggered the fascination with AR-style rifles or high-capacity rifles, and that was the emergence of the Rambo movie franchise.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And others to follow yep. like it that yep. involved, you know, Stallone and other action figures, yeah. Bruce Willis, et cetera. We started putting out action figures in the movies that were using high-capacity firearms and shooting up a lot of people at one time. Now, these firearms had been available, but then we don't start seeing this until after these movies come out, and one other factor, and that is the heavy saturation of high-kill video games
yep.
that kids, 10, 12, 13, 14, are playing at young ages that are basically showing the human image as something that you can is expendable. You can just whack all you want. The more you shoot, the more points you get.
Yeah, and in these movies you're speaking about, the premise of every story is that the guy with the highest body count, whether it's Stallone or Schwarzenegger or whatever, or Willis, they're the good guy.
Right.
They're righteous right. in their actions.
And yeah, they are. They're righteous right. in their actions, but then it's glorifying
yeah.
the collateral damage yep. as being cool. So that, if you really want to trace it to where this started, so it doesn't really have anything to do with, quote, the firearm itself. Those firearms had been available for a while, and no one was picking them up and committing these acts. But when you start introducing the visual stimulus to people on a societal level and also on a macro and a micro level, now I can go in my own little video game and play it all day long, and my brain is being rewired to see this as a norm.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got something very dangerous, and you've introduced that. That's, again folks, this is a theory I've been working on for a while as to how and where this started as a response to why are these things happening. If you want to comment on this or you have your own theory you want to present, 430-2428, that's the number, 430-2428. You know, John, it's just about time, by the way, for us to take another one of these breaks okay. for our great sponsors, which we are lucky to have. We have wonderful sponsors on this show. And I want to point out that it's getting hot. It's going to keep getting hotter. And your AC system's working right now. It's working overtime. You got to pay a thing overtime. Take care of it. And the best way to do that is contact AC by Florida Comfort Systems right here in Naples, Florida. AC is owned and operated by Denny Martin, who is a veteran, by the way, of the Navy veteran, was on USS Saratoga, and honorably discharged. Came here in 1985 and founded this family-owned, family-operated company that does business the old-fashioned way and the credible way. They screen all their employees, background check, drug screen them. They send them in to fix your unit. They don't get paid commissions to upsell you products you don't need. They look at what your problem is and try to help you solve the problem. And if you're in the market for a new unit, they are the folks to talk to as far as quality unit at a fair price with the best installation out there. That's AC by Florida Comfort Systems, as the ones with the cool dog mascot on the trucks. You can find them on the Joe Whitehead Show website. And we'll be right back.
98.9 WGUF.
Managing your lawn care needs is a priority for all homeowners. Classic Lawns is number one when it comes to mowing, trimming, fertilizing, and landscaping. Owner and hands-on manager Manny Torero can give you an estimate and get the job done. Classic Lawns of Collier County is my own lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming choice. Make them yours. Classic Lawns offers the best lawn care at reasonable rates. If you want the best, call Classic Lawns of Collier County Incorporated. Call them today at 455-6900. You'll be glad you did.
This is the city, Naples, Bonita Springs, Florida. I work here. I'm a locksmith, BB Locksmith. It was season. Everyone's guard was down. Tourists and snowbirds were settled in. Locals were oblivious to the crime being committed around them. That's when I got the call. BB Locksmith.
I need help.
Just the facts, ma'am.
There have been several break-ins in my neighborhood.
Not surprising. In the last quarter, over 1,800 property crimes were reported. And in the last year, the number was almost 8,000.
I think I should improve my locks.
With two shops and a half dozen mobile service vehicles, BB Locksmith can help before you become another statistic.
BB Locksmith is family-owned and operated, and we genuinely care about our neighbors and their security. Find us at bblocksmith.com or call BB Locksmith 239-262-2000.
Thank you, BB Locksmith.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
BB Locksmith, 262-2000.
We're back. Welcome to the Joe Whitehead Show as we broadcast live and armed. Steamy hot Saturday in June. Man, can't wait till fall gets here. Can't wait till, well, fall actually here doesn't start till probably mid-December. But it's a very short fall.
Well, the longest day is coming up, June 21st, so we're heading up to higher temperatures.
Oh, my God, yeah. If you want to comment on anything that's going on the show so far today, 430-2428. Now, John DePrisco, you did some analysis that you wanted to share with our listening audience. It has to do with how we spend money and what – it really questions what bang for buck are we getting for some of the public money we spend with regard to teaching and education.
Well, yeah, Joe, there's a hot issue going on right now because we have 7 candidates running for 3 seats on the school board. And during a lot of the open forums, no one seems to ask them, where's the money going and what are you going to do to reduce my property tax bill? And so one of the ways to look at that is to shine a light on, you know, the numbers and compare. And so one of the things I was looking at was, what do the prior budgets look like? What does the current budget look like? What's the percentage increase? What's inflation? How many students do we have? How about Charlotte County? How about Lee County? So we've, you know, looked at a few numbers, and the year-over-year budget increase has been about 7.2%. Well, inflation's like 2%, and our student count is relatively static. So when you do the math, it comes out to over $22,650 per student within Collier County. If you compare that to other locales, for example, Charlotte, they're at $19,000 per student. Lee County, which is double our size, is at $16,200 per student. So, yeah, it may not be apples to apples. For example, if, let's say, Irma hit Collier worse than Lee, then maybe we need to rebuild buildings and there's going to be additional costs. But it is a number that you can use to say what's going on here.
Well, that $22,000 figure, too, it from my recollection, that's been almost a constant number, give or take a few dollars, for the last 4 or 5 years. So it's not like it just...
No.
Creeped up there.
No.
And there have been small increases in the student population, but not 7% worth.
No. And in fact, during the Great Recession, the number went down a lot because a lot of the migrant workers left with their children. But importantly, the school board has a built-in number that goes up, and that's the property value. So if they do nothing with the millage rate, the amount of money they pull in is going up way more than inflation because our property values are going up way more. So they're giving themselves a raise without any consequence.
I get the point very well. I think you laid that out beautifully. Question is, does it translate into educational excellence?
Well, yeah. I mean, what are we using to compare, you know, say our schools to the country, our schools to other state counties? And, you know, some of the numbers, they fudge. You know, they'll pick some numbers that look good for them. But then when you look at other standardized numbers, we're not doing so good.
Well, let's put, if spending dollars equates to kids being well educated, okay, then we should have the best educated kids in the state of Florida
by far,
because we're spending the most per student.
Yes,
but in fact, some of our local charter schools who are operating on about $8,000 a year per student versus $22,000 and change per student in the other Collier public schools. At least one of these charter schools is outperforming in most categories the other public schools. So how could that, if what you spend equates to what your results are, that's the mantra we've heard for years, right, from school districts, from the left in general, for the left wingers on this current school board, who, you know, I mean, Miss Lucarelli couldn't do a math problem if we gave her a calculator, all the pens and pencils she needs, and a tutor. Because she doesn't seem to know how to balance her own books, let alone the counties. They can't tell you why that's the case, that they need to spend all this money and how it's going to get better results. Because when you have a charter school, and probably going to be, you're going to see more than one charter school in the future outperforming everyone else, and they're doing it for less money, how do you then justify saying, as they've always said for years, the left, well, if you want a good education, you've got to be willing to put some money into it. We're putting more money into it than anyone else. How does this come out of their mouth?
Yeah, well, like you said, you can look at the charter schools that, you know, you're running about $8,500 per student. You can look at private schools that charge about $12,000 tuition. And then you look at the Collier County School District at $22,650. You know, eventually you have to say, this is apples to apples, and what are we getting as a result of our investment?
Well, and it is apples to apples, because there's standards that everyone has to adhere to. There's no other way to explain it than they're just dramatically under. They're more, even if we all had level dollars, they're not being outperformed even there.
Yeah.
So you've got a school like Mason Academy who gets a fraction of what the other public schools get, and you're seeing them outperform.
Yeah, it's less than half.
Yes. Yes, but it's about between 35% and 38%, somewhere in that range. So but by their own arguments all the time, this should not be possible, but it's happening to them. And I think that's what scares them about some of the alternative school plan movements, such as charter schools or vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just heard a ad on vouchers that was being run, anti-vouchers ad.
Yeah.
And the bottom line with that anti-vouchers ad that I heard was it didn't talk anything about performance of schools. All it talked about was, the problems with these charter schools taking all this public money. They don't talk about what are they doing with it, what performance are they getting.
Yeah.
They leave that out of the equation.
You're getting a better bang for your buck.
Exactly. Let's take Doug. He's calling in today with some info from, I'm not sure where he's calling in from, but Doug, welcome. This is Doug Rankin calling us.
Hey, glad to be here, Joe, live and armed and ready to join the fight with you. Yeah, I think that competition is the biggest word in capitalism, and it needs to be applied to the schools.
Well, and as John DePrisco is just pointing out in his report, you've got Collier outspending the other schools in the region substantially. Mm-hmm. We're the highest spending county in the state, and we're not getting the performance.
Oh, we're sure not, and it's worse than that. We're one of the top three or four school districts in the entire United States.
Is there
now,
spending?
If you listen to the superintendent, she does some accounting that an accounting professor would fail you for to claim that's not the case, but it's definitely the case, and then, like you said, there's no performance.
Well, yeah, and if we actually did this on what you're getting versus what you're spending scale, okay, the way a business would analyze its books. What are we getting for what we're spending? We would be in the failure category.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. There's a county where my boys happen to live. It's called Seminole County. It's where Sanford is. You may remember that from Trayvon Martin.
Yes.
Their big claim to fame there is that's where Larry the Cable Guy lives. and their school system spends a lot less than we do and has better performance.
Yeah, well, that's the point. And you say, okay, how could that be? Because the liberal mantra is always equating the more you spend, the better education you're going to have. That's all you hear out of them. It's all about spending more money.
You can't throw money at a problem like that. And Trump's proving this nationally. You know, he's showing, hey, you know, just stand up to people. Don't bribe other bad dictators like Kim Jong's mentally ill son here. You know, you got to stand up to them. You got to be forceful. You got to get what's necessary to protect us and do it while they still don't have the power to threaten the entire world.
Oh, amen. And I think when he went ahead and pulled the rug out from under that original summit, notice it's back on again, of course. But when he pulled the rug out from under it, I think the Kim Chi Doughboy filled his depends on that day because he was... He was scared. I think that scared him. I think he thought, uh-oh, it's coming down.
And Iran is next. And then the other thing that Trump's engaged in at the same time is one of the whole reasons he became president, aside from straightening out problems like those, is to straighten out our trade deals and keep us from bankrupting our futures and our kids not having jobs.
Well, that's one of the biggest dangers that to the security of this country. When you have too many people that are not working, then their only alternative is to vote themselves benefits.
Yeah, and how do you like this economy from Trump? You know, unemployment in the basement, job participation rate in the sky, minority employment in the sky, you know, in terms of lowest unemployment in history.
No question about it. And I think... By the way, I wish they'd get rid of what's called the unemployment rate number because that always gets messed with.
Yeah.
But I like that they're using the number, the actual job participation. That's the number of people who actually have a job. That's the best number. There's two best numbers. That one.
Yeah,
and the other number to use is the total receipts collected by Social Security, the gross receipts. Because what that shows you is not only a lot of people working, but they're working, when those numbers go up, they're working at the higher end of the limits, which tells you it's better wage jobs than minimum wage jobs.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, I'm headed south right now, back to Naples, and right now I'm just about out of Ohio, and there are help wanted signs everywhere. Not only in your grocery stores or your convenience stores, but at the factories and all that.
Well, and again, it goes back to when you start expanding the manufacturing jobs, it's a dynamic explosion. All of a sudden, hey, you need some more convenience stores. Hey, you need people to work at the convenience stores. Hey, you need more gas stations. Hey, you know, it's a whole bunch of things you need. When people are making a good wage, they spend money. They need places to spend that money that employs other people. It just booms when this happens.
Yeah, and I'm seeing those help wanted signs at factories, too, with name brands you'd recognize that are looking for employees. So it's not only low jobs, it's big jobs. It's going to be well-paying jobs, and wage pressures are starting to go up.
Well, and what you also do, which again, the left will not acknowledge economically, is nobody's really talking about the debt right now.
Yeah.
The debt's big, but one of the strategies that supply-side economists like to use, which can work, but you got to control spending, but it can work, is that you grow your economy to the point where the debt proportionally starts to be diminished in proportion to that, and so you begin to absorb that debt over time by just growing the economy. Now, that's the dynamics of how it's supposed to work. The reason it was even worse under the Obama years of economic policy was that the economy was not expanding and the debt was growing. The other way you start to shrink that debt is as you're expanding in economic growth, that's when you start to cut back on certain spendings, because if you have people working, you don't need to spend money as much on food stamps. You don't need as much on job creation programs. You know, there's lots of things you don't need to spend money on, but now you're collecting taxes from these folks who are working where they were an expense earlier. So I
Absolutely.
Mean, this is the way the economy, this is the way you're supposed to recover an economy, and it's happening.
Absolutely, and we're doing well. And now the only thing I'm worried about is, you may have seen in the news recently, the AG report out of the Justice Department is supposedly due out on Trump's birthday, which is in about a week.
June 14th.
Yeah, and also there is a real serious concern that there's a lot of pressure being put on that internal investigators there to either water down, delete, redact a large quantity of that report to actually make Trump look bad instead of making them look bad. For instance, they may come out and say that, yeah, Comey did wrong things, but they're what gave Trump the election. Bloody, bloody, bloody bull nonsense.
Well, and I think the Inspector General's report should never be altered, because that's the one agency in government right now that seems to have the least amount of corruption in it, and I'd like to see what it says unaltered.
Well,
Doug,
unfortunately, this is not the General Accounting Office. This is the Inspector General within the FBI.
Well, that's,
and you know, I know a lot of very fine FBI agents, some of the top people from the past, and I'm sure they're all just shaking their heads in disbelief of what's become of the upper levels of their agency.
Well, it's certainly
engaged
declined.
In political coups and all this, and I'm wondering whether or not the deep state is going to try and cover it all up.
No, moral bankruptcy is huge in there right now, and it's got to change. Doug, thanks for getting in touch with us this morning. I hope you drive safe.
Sure will. And
all
see
right.
you back in town. I'll be back Monday.
See
Bye.
You then. Take care. Let's go real quick to Lois before we take a break. Lois probably has some interesting things to talk about. Lois, welcome, and glad to have you with us.
I just got in the car and turned you on, and I heard the information on the school board, the schools, what they charge public schools versus charter and private. And I know the school, they tend to take out the debt service and other costs out of what it costs per student. So they say their number is much lower.
Right. So exactly.
Do private schools and charter schools calculate all their expenses?
Oh yeah. Look, it's here's what we talk about. Cost per student includes the roof over your head, the insurances, the salaries, the utility bill, your total operating budget. So I'll use Mason Academy as an example. It's operating on a little over $8,000 per student per year. That's everything, all costs included. In Collier County Public Schools, when you take the number, and you get there by taking the total number of students and dividing it into the gross figure of the budget. When you do that with Collier County Public Schools, that number comes out to $22,650 a year. So it's significantly larger, and it's inclusive of everything. Now, with private schools, I don't know the books on all private schools, but generally what they charge in tuition per student that people pay for is generally, when you add those up, that's their budget, pretty much. You know, if they do a fundraiser to supplement something on the side, that just adds to it, but that's usually a very tiny part of the budget. So,
okay, so charter schools incorporate all of their costs.
Everything.
Right. Yeah, I'm just trying to, when I speak with individuals and they go that route, I'm like, I don't think that's how it works, but I'm going to find out. And
yeah, Lois, what you're speaking about is the public school has another figure that they use, which is called direct instructional expenditure, which is only a subset of the total budget, and they can claim, well, it's about $8,300 per student.
Right.
And that's not comparing apples to apples.
Yeah. But see, out of our $8,300 per student, we're putting a roof over the head. We're doing everything. They're saying, well, that doesn't count because we use other taxpayer dollars to pay for the roof over everybody's head. And you have to put that roof over everyone's head. It's just like a business. You can't just say the wages you pay are the only expenditure and everything else that comes in as profit. Well, excuse me, who pays for the electricity? Who pays for the water? Who pays for the roof over your head?
The liability
insurance. It's all part of the expense. Every penny of it. And so if one subset of the school district can get high performance at $8,300 per year per student, let's say, can do that, including the roof over their head, then why is it that the rest of the school district is underperforming while they're spending $22,600 per student? That's almost a scandal.
Well, it's not comparing apples to apples, and it's hard to get that point across to the public. And I just, who's the other person you had speaking? I'm sorry, I didn't get
it. Oh, it was
name.
John DePrisco's co-hosting with me today, Lois. And John DePrisco, he's done quite a bit of research on this.
Oh, yeah, okay, great, that's fine. I just didn't catch his name, and so that's great. And I just, that's the way I've always looked at it, and I still can't understand why they keep pushing that number of 8,300 or whatever it is, 8,200, whatever the number, as the cost per student in a comparison, when that's really not.
Yeah, it's direct instructional expenditure, which is a subset of the whole budget. And that's what they like to use, because 8,300 compares very well to 8,300, but it's two different, totally different ways to come up with that number.
Yeah, they can't put you in the building teaching for 8,300. Okay, that's the problem.
Yeah, they can leave you out in the
parking lot.
The pasture.
Yeah, parking lot of the pasture. That's right. Lois, thanks for your call in today, and you have a great weekend.
Thanks. Bye bye.
All right. Hey, let's take a quick time out, John. Before we do, I want to make mention of one of the finest doctors in the entire state of Florida is right here in Southwest Florida. And that's Dr. Albert Alessi. He runs the old style of family medical care. I mean, he gets to know you. He gets to know your lifestyle. You call him up. He gives you a call back. How many people do that these days? He likes to work with you to keep you healthy, but if you're sick, he can take care of you. He does medicine the old-fashioned way, folks. He, you know, really treats you like a human being. You're an individual. You're not a client with a client number. You're someone he tries to help so you can live the most out of your lifestyle. That's Dr. Albert Alessi. He's also a regular show listener. He's right here local in Bonita Springs, and you can find him on my website or go to alessifamilycare.com. And we'll be right back.
98.9 WGUF Naples FM Talk. Now you can listen live at WGUF989.com.
Hey, do you want to save, save, save? I mean big money. Well, then you need to be purchasing your printer ink cartridge refills at Cartridge Depot. That's right, save up to 50%. 50% less than the big store prices. They're locally owned and operated. These are real people who live right here in Collier County with real answers to your questions. Go in and check out Cartridge Depot. Save big bucks. Get quality products. And by the way, they actually test out their cartridges before they sell them to you. That's right. Quality control from Cartridge Depot. Good products. Save big bucks. Check them out. Cartridge Depot, 2622 Tamiami Trail North. Go there today.
Check them out on thejoewhiteheadshow.com.
Managing your lawn care needs is a priority for all homeowners. Classic Lawns is number one when it comes to mowing, trimming, fertilizing, and landscaping. Owner and hands-on manager Manny Torero can give you an estimate and get the job done. Classic Lawns of Collier County is my own lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming choice. Make them yours. Classic Lawns offers the best lawn care at reasonable rates. If you want the best, call Classic Lawns of Collier County Incorporated. Call them today at 455-6900. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. This is the Joe Whitehead Show, and we are live and armed, and no kidding about that. And we only have a few minutes left in this segment. Your calls, if you want to comment on anything you heard today on the air, 430-2428, 430-2428. You know, John DePrisco has been with us today for the show, doing a great job co-hosting. I appreciate him being here. One of the controversial topics, or the left in the media claims controversial, is now we're going to be having, in some places in Florida, some members of school staffs who are going to be armed for the protection of students and the protection of the faculty to deter and respond to any sort of harm threats that show up on a campus. And here locally in Collier, I'm actually pursuing that, what's called the Guardian Program. We have some folks in Hendry. I know there's some folks over in, I think, Brevard County doing that. Not all the counties are buying into that, but part of the fear of this is that I guess some of the teachers' unions, most of them, fought this because they were afraid they were going to be told you have to carry a firearm.
Yeah, it's not mandatory.
And no one has ever said that about this program.
Yeah, it's always been voluntary. It's always been, you know, if the teacher is confident and comfortable and they go through additional hourly instruction, and it's up to them.
Well, and actually, if you're a full-time classroom teacher, under that statute, that has been closed out as not an option for a full-time classroom teacher. And the only carve-outs they made was if it's someone who has had extensive prior military or law enforcement experience, they might be eligible. Otherwise, it's only to people in what's called administrative positions. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, folks, as hard as it, the sheriff's office here locally and in other parts of the state and the police agencies are working to get a police officer per school. Collier County will not have full-time police officers or sheriff's deputies in schools in Collier County full-time, you know, permanent ones, for at least another 3 to 4 years. Yeah. And that's the reason for that is simply because they have to go through a hiring and training process, and it's going to take time. Now, you will see people there on part-time and rotating basis because of the sheriff and the chief's police commitment to having the schools protected. But as far as a permanent assigned regular deputy, that's going to take a while to get that happen. I know people running around saying it's already been done. That's not actually accurate. It's coming. It's in process. It's going to take time. But some of these programs, like the Guardian program, will help to supplement the efforts of the law enforcement agencies. So you could theoretically have multiple trained armed responders on any campus. So it's not just even one person who's stuck with that responsibility, but you've got a team. You know, that would train together and work together.
And it comes back to what you were saying about Principal Vicarious. You want the first person to be able to respond as quickly as possible. Now, whether it's her calling 911 or an administrator being able to take down a shooter, you want that time makes a big difference. I mean, seconds count.
Yes, there's no question about that. And that's, again, one of these things that the well-intended but completely airheaded leftists don't seem to have the ability to understand. That the presence of evil is part of the humanity, and it will always rear its head, and it will always attempt to do things to harm others, harm the innocent. And you have to have in place mechanisms for fast, swift, and effective response.
Yeah.
It's got to take place. So if one of those mechanisms will be in some places, the utilization of some non-sworn. Now, some of those folks, I can tell you right now, are going to be people who have had police experience before.
Sure.
Or military experience, and they've been properly trained. So you really have an ideal situation where you'll have a combination of current law enforcement and people who've been trained and possibly retired law enforcement and military working together as a team to protect that space and those in the kids and the teachers and everyone there. That's the goal at the end of the day. It's a good goal. And I just think I encourage more schools, administrators, and districts to consider the use of this program if you haven't because it will and can make a difference. It can save lives, and it can be a huge help by partnering with the law enforcement entities on this. So that's sort of my editorial on that today. And John, any of your thoughts for the week coming up?
Get involved. There's a lot going on with the Collier County commissioners and also with the school board.
Lots to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
They're spending our money.
Yeah.
That's not just some money. That's our money that they're deciding what to do with.
Yeah.
So they should listen to you. And even if some of them, like Ms. Lucarelli, have a hard time comprehending how to save, spend, and pay bill money and pay bills, well, maybe she needs to be recalled.
I think so.
All right, folks, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you being here every week. We appreciate all our sponsors, and we hope all of you enjoy the weeks to come. And if you're out there this weekend enjoying the sun and the fun, remember to, as always, keep the grill hot and the beer cold. We'll talk to you next week.